5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen at kntrtalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It's Sound Advice with Brian Springberg, Certified Financial Planner, Springberg McAndrew Financial Services. On this Thursday, June 17, 2021, Brian's at a, I don't know if I should say the location. I would more refer to Brian on that for the location. Brian, how you doing?
Fantastic. I'm, after living in Havasu for 47 years, well, not all of them, but, right. 47, 48, years, I guess I've actually been there 40 of them. You know, when people used to say, God, as I've gotten older, the heat's really hard. And I've always, cause I was there since I was four, I always was like, yeah, whatever. I mean, I used to golf when it was 120.
Right.
Well, guess what? I turned 52 a week ago and I am now in Utah.
I feel you, man.
As it turns out, gone for a little bit over a week and I'll be back, but I picked the right week not to be there, boy. Woo.
You know, I saw the pictures on Facebook and I know that area that you're in northern Utah, and it's just beautiful up there. You're like around Utah State University up in there, so if I remember right. Speaking of college, by the way, where you went to college was U of A. We're going to have the College World Series on KNTR Sports coming up this weekend. And the second game on Saturday, we'll have a 10:40 game and a 3:40 game. The second game is Vanderbilt versus U of A. And U of A is just tearing it up right now in the College World Series. Let's see, it's Thursday, so tonight we've got the Diamondbacks. Man, they're just setting records. Not a good thing right now. Not a good thing right now, but D-backs are on at 12:45 this afternoon, the fourth game of the four-game series against San Francisco Giants. San Francisco is just having their way with D-backs pitching right now. And then tonight, Stanley Cup playoff action. We'll have the Tampa Bay Lightning at New York Islanders. That is at 4:30 p.m. on 980 AM, 100.5 FM, and 94.3 FM as well. So,
I'm going to use that as a segue.
Yeah, go ahead.
The D-backs are dropping games like the price of lumber is dropping right now.
It's finally starting to drop, huh?
Understatement. And so remember what we've been talking about is how, a lot of commodities have been going up in price and labor has been going up in price with a labor shortage. And so inflation is kind of out there hovering. And so when people say to me, but things can't fall that fast, can they? Well, lumber is down 40% in the last, like 3 weeks or so, from its outrageous highs. And so for those, who pre-purchased their lumber or futures in that because they were worried about not being able to get it or it continuing to go up, a lot of builders, developers are sitting on lumber that they paid 40% more for than the going rate right now. So think of it this way. If you're a builder and, you know, your lumber cost to frame a house is, you know, typically 40 grand and it went up to, you know, 85. Well, you bought the lumber at that price, mm-hmm. but now new lumber can be purchased back at, you know, the 40 grand or 50 grand, let's say. And so you're stuck with that. And so definitely going to be some people who try to get ahead of that curve, getting hurt, in the building industry. But the good news is that it's, you know, it seems, you know, that it has been temporary as far as that particular commodity contributing to the inflation concern. And remember, I was talking about that, on the show that I was saying, listen, the question at this point is, is inflation going to be, is it going to be a temporary trend, or is it going to be more of a lasting thing for the next 5, 7, 10 years? And most analysts were saying they believed it to be temporary, so in regard to lumber at least, they were definitely correct. You know, and it could be a couple of factors. The mills are up and running. That was probably one of the biggest factors, that the mills were just not at full capacity and running where they needed to be. And you can't build a new mill unless it's two or three, you know, takes 2-3 years. And even adding on to one takes time. And so by the time you're done, you don't need it anymore. So you just wasted a bunch of money. So, you know, it's interesting to see that. The market has reacted though to other news, and that is this, and this is what I was saying, was that inflation was actually a little bit more than what the Federal Reserve was thinking. They try to keep it at 2%, and at least temporarily right now, it was north of 3%. And so they're talking about it, maybe raising interest rates, perhaps, a couple of times in 2023. Now, again, subject to change and depending upon what's going on. But the market, as a result of those comments, mm-hmm. Has kind of, you know, backtracked a little bit. In other words, we're still quite high in the markets, in equities, in the United States. That being said, we've seen a little bit of pullback from the all-time highs, pushing in the Dow, you know, 35,000. Now we're back to, as of right now, the Dow currently at 33,831, down 200. But interestingly enough, the S&P 500, which is a much broader index, is actually flat, and the NASDAQ is up almost 1%. So it really is depends upon, well, what stock or what sector are you in as to what's happening to your portfolio in the ultra short term, which is one day at a time, which is typically not the way most investors do invest or, quite honestly, should be investing. So we find ourselves looking at a little bit of a clawback in markets, but nothing significant because, again, I think that the market knows that all these things are subject to change, and you don't want to get too hard ahead of it right now. And then the other thing, continuing to be a major issue for a lot of small businesses in the country, is labor. Mm-hmm. So when I think it's at the end of this month, so just a couple of weeks from now, I think it's up to 27 or 28 states are going to do away with the $300 weekly bonus coming from the Fed on unemployment if a significant amount of people who were utilizing those benefits actually go back into the workforce. And so that remains to be seen because it is, at least now, temporarily, a nationwide issue. In fact, listen to this statistic in the scheme of things. So if we talk about jobs and, you know, how many jobs are out there and kind of focus on increases, decreases, et cetera, over time, we are at all-time highs of job openings across the United States. And there are, as I've mentioned on the show, from everything I've been reading, which, you know, is quite a bit, there's three or four variables. I think a variable, but I don't think even the top one or two variables is that some people are not returning to the workforce because of the extra $300 a week. Maybe a handful, maybe in the low paying service industries, but certainly nobody's staying at home for $25,000 for if a job pays $40,000 or $50,000. Maybe if the job also pays $25,000, they're not in a big hurry to get back to the workforce. But the biggest thing is that there's just so many job openings happening simultaneously as existing companies come out of the pandemic and continue to expand. And also, I was saying before, I think last week, that the number of new businesses opening across the United States is record-setting. So it's just a tremendous time for business expansion and a desire for labor. And so that is a huge issue right now. And so as we look at, well, how come unemployment still exists? It's so hard to tell. Is it that the jobs that are open don't fit those that are unemployed, meaning they're not trained or skilled in those areas for the actual jobs that are opening? And I think there's been a weird psychological shift in this country. In fact, the Wall Street Journal had an interesting article about it, and it was saying that a lot of people who now can go back to the office and work are choosing to quit instead because, you know, they're saying, hey, listen, pandemic's winding down or done or it's not significant enough, and so you need to come back to work. And people have figured other ways to survive outside of that job, that 9-to-5 physical presence, and are saying, no, not interested. And I'm not talking just blue-collar jobs. I'm talking white-collar jobs. And that's the other thing I was talking about, a factor in this, is that we have this economy that exists that people can utilize technology and social media to sell products, to sell themselves, to, you know, and by selling themselves, I mean, you know, get so many followers on social media, and then that attracts advertisers in terms of what you wear or what you drink or what you do. No different than stars. In other words, it's the logical conclusion of, I don't know, I guess I'll call it the Kardashian effect, whatever that is. It's, in other words, really, why are these people famous? They're famous for being famous. And if you are that and you can get so many people to follow you, in other words, people are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Kim Kardashian is that rich. Well, think of it this way. I don't know what the number is, but I'm going to assume she has somewhere probably around 100 million followers. If you're in business and 100 million people are a captive audience for anything, you're going to want to make sure that Kim Kardashian's wearing your shoes, your purse, or in her case now, of course, designing her own clothing lines or things that she does. And that's just an example of what millennials who are 23 and 24 are doing on a much, much smaller scale, but still doing it at $3,000 or $4,000 a month. And their option is to do that from home or, you know, serve burgers and fries and beers or service jobs. If that's what they were doing before, well, what do you think they're choosing? So it's like this weird psychological and labor shift happening here, kind of contributing to what you're seeing happen in this country with employers scratching their heads like, where is everybody? And so all those things working together are kind of where we're at. So interesting phenomenon, you know, don't you think, Paul?
Oh, definitely. Are you ready to go to break, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take our first break. And if you've got any comments, questions about what's happening in the economy or in the investment world or want to know just something specific to you, feel free to give a call. Happy to answer any questions that I can.
All right. Let's go ahead to our featured artist of the day, which
yes.
Would be The Clash. Of course, train in vain. You got to play train in vain when you're playing the Clash. So, all right, Brian, I'm going to stick you on hold for a second, and we're going to give away some passes to Movies Havasu on our winning Thursday. Two pair of tickets to Movies Havasu. Give us a call on the other line, and I'll get you a pair. I'm sorry, we have one pair of tickets to Movies Havasu. One pair of tickets to Movies Havasu. That's an $18.50 value. No restrictions, all show times, including advanced showings. Give us a call, 854-KNTR-928-854-5687. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Sound advice with Brian Springberg. Right, there it is. We think Joe Strummer might be from Utah. That's why we're playing the Clash today, right?
Yep. Donnie and Marie, that's what I know.
There you go. Well, maybe Donnie and Marie did a version of I Fought the Law. Who knows?
I'm sure. I'm 100% positive they've never fought the law.
Speak Out, brought to you in part by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Mojave Mortgage, Patio Paradise, Connected Computer and Technology, Horizon Community Bank, Arizona Krav Maga, and of course, Brian Springberg and Mike McAndrew at Springberg McAndrew Financial Services. Thanks so much for your sponsorship, by the way.
Of course.
All right. And again, congratulations to your U of A Wildcats for making it to the preliminary round of the College World Series. Games going on all week. We'll have the Wildcats and Vandy on Saturday afternoon. That first pitch is around 3:40 or 4 o'clock. I think ESPN's at 4 o'clock. And congratulations goes to Debbie from Lake Havasu City, who picked up a pair of tickets to Movies Havasu on our winning Thursday giveaway. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to you, Brian.
All right. How about some FYI about just some interesting things? So this is always one that I think is so illuminating about how when our government thinks only in terms of short-term politics, it can have very real negative consequences. And one of those things was just not adjusting as time goes by to what happens in the real world. In other words, you know, there's arguments that you know, when this country was founded, we lived a certain way and a certain life, and now we've evolved and changed. And so, you know, our Constitution is supposed to be a living, breathing thing, is the quote. And so as that changes, maybe we need to make certain changes as well. And in that same vein is just what's happened with our species. Life expectancy in 1921, 100 years ago, 60.8 years was the average life expectancy. So let's fast forward to 100 years later, 77.8. Are you kidding me? 17 years longer. Now, think about what that means from a social and fiduciary and financial picture. In other words, Social Security. It, you know, it used to not, the average life expectancy was less than when you could take it early, much less normal at 65. The average person didn't even live that long. Now it's 12, 13 years beyond normal retirement age, and think of the financial pressure that puts on government expenditures. Think of what that does to Medicare spending from the government's perspective for health care. If you were to look at our budget as a country and get all bent out of shape about how we're spending trillions that we don't have, I get it. If you were to look at where there's by far the biggest places to cut in our budget. In other words, 67 to 69% of all the money we spend as a country is for military, Medicare, and Social Security.
Wow.
So you're talking less than a third is everything else. So if we're ever going to make right the ship financially as a country, guess what, everybody? You know, you can cut. We all know there's waste in the other 30 whatever percent, of course. But how much waste is there in that 30%? Can you cut back, I don't know, 5%, 7% of it? So you still have that. Where the cuts have to take place is almost the other 70% if we're going to right the ship as a country. And so when people talk about fiscal and financial responsibility politically, they're really not talking about it. Because if they were, they would be talking about the things I just mentioned. So don't get all excited and caught up in the rhetoric of how, you know, one party or the other is spending, overspending money we don't have, because they both are.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to take several generations of Americans to kind of sacrifice, or we get Medicare spending and health care way under control. And Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, whatever you want to call it, was a fairly weak attempt, as it turns out, to do it. But at least it was an attempt. The whole focus was to get health care costs under control and health care for everybody. So the fact that, you know, people are railing against it, I get it. But I'm not hearing anybody else saying, but here's a way we can approach it and we can attack it. Because it's not just, hey, we need health insurance for everybody at this point as a developed country, to take care of our own citizens.
Right.
And it's not just that, you know, we want to make sure that it's affordable. It's actually a financial crisis. It's actually one of the major causes of our economy not being as strong as it is, as it should be. Our deficit being higher than it should be. And, of course, our quality of life overall as Americans not being as high as it should be. I mean, we rank 23, 25 for childbirth deaths and health care and all that in the world. We're not in the top 10. We're not even in the top 20. Yet we spend way more than everybody else. Mm-hmm. So it is an interesting thing. And so when I talk about the aging of America, also think of the longer people live, the more money goes out to Social Security and to Medicare spending. And to ignore that and use other rhetoric and accusations of, you know, poor financial management is political theater. It is not based in reality, because if it were, they'd be talking about what I'm talking about. Other FYI, the dollar is still king around the world. 59% of the world's foreign exchange reserves, you know, the cash holdings that foreign countries have in their central banks, were in U.S. dollars, 59%. By the way, and that's as of last year, 2020. That's its lowest level in 25 years, although we're still the most popular currency in the world. The euro, representing 21% of global foreign exchanges, is number two. And that was kind of by design, right? The, you know, the countries over there combined to have a central currency to have more leveraging power,
right,
for the businesses and governments there to try to compete with the U.S. and get into the market. So from that perspective, made total sense. Other brand new homes, all setting records still. In March of this year, the median sales price of new homes in the U.S., again, new homes, was $372,000 and change. So still globally, not globally, I'm sorry, nationally, still quite high. And also, the peak, when we adjust for inflation, was actually 4 years ago in May of 2017. So interesting that the actual price is all-time highs, but when adjusted for inflation, actually May of 2017 was in fact the all-time high. With that, we got to be heading out to our second break of the hour. I got plenty more FYI for you, just interesting tidbits about what's going on in the economy here and abroad. We'll be back here in just a few minutes on Sound Advice on Speak Out.
Right. All right. Back with more in a moment. We're featuring The Clash today. And here's a video you may have seen about 100,000 times on MTV back in the day. Remember this one, Brian? Rock the Casbah.
Rocking the Casbah with the oil and the sheiks. Oh, yeah.
That's funny stuff. All right, back with more in a moment. On Sound Advice with Brian Springberg, I'm Paul LaVoy. Stay with us.
By oil or the profit, you find out who gets down. Degenerate the faithful with that crazy cat boss sound. The better when they fall down.
The views expressed on Speak Out are not necessarily the opinion of KNTR Talk 106.3 FM and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities that would be mentioned therein. Investing is subject to risk involving loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations may vary. Therefore, the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Securities and investment advisory services offered through SagePoint Financial, member of FINRA, SIPC. SagePoint Financial is separately owned, and other entities or marketing names, products, or services referenced in here are independent of SagePoint Financial.
Calling to the faraway towns, now war is declared, and battle come down. London calling to the underworld, come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls. London calling, now don't look down.
All right, we're back on Speak Out. Brian, I just had a great idea for London Bridge Days.
Yeah?
You heard about this British invasion event that's coming up?
Yeah.
What about a Clash tribute band doing London Calling on the London Bridge? Would that be the bomb?
I love it. I'm in.
That'd be the bomb, huh? All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Community College, GDK CPA LLC, Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, Herbs Herbs, SunPower by Esme Electric, and of course, Bobby Lewis and the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty. And I was going to try to do that howl that they do in the song, but I don't dare, you know, blow out any speakers here in Lake Havasu City. I would probably get charged for them or someone would complain. So anyway, I love the howl on this. So, all right, back to Brian up in the northern reaches of the cooler climes of Utah.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, it's still 98, but I'll take it over $1.20 any day.
Yeah, no kidding.
So interesting. So you know, one of the biggest economic issues facing the manufacturing lack of supply in this country has been the lack of chips. You know, computer chips.
Okay.
You know, not potato. and yeah, that would be an American outcry.
Right.
And so. A bipartisan group of senators today proposed a 25% tax credit for investments in semiconductor manufacturing as Congress works to increase chip production. And so, yeah, you know, this is one of those things where you've got to decide where you fall on capitalism, and honestly, some form of government assistance. And that's where you find a lot of arguments break between the two political parties. You know, in other words, when you talk about welfare or $300 a week extra for the unemployed, you know, a lot of people get upset about wasting money and people being lazy, et cetera. And then conversely, there's an argument that says, oh, but it's okay for the government to give a 25% tax credits to extremely wealthy individuals and corporations so that they can manufacture chips here more competitively because they're not able to maybe compare to other foreign companies. And, you know, there's some argument for that because, in other words, it maybe helps create American jobs and helps the production and finishing manufacturing of all the, you know, the 1.5 million vehicles sitting waiting for chips around the country to be distributed. But yet, should we be using taxpayer dollars or just subsidizing basically corporate America to be able to do that? And you can fill in the blank, you know, the oil industry, the farming industry, certainly the military-industrial complex industry. You can fill in the blank, and that's happening to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars. And so it's welfare. It's just not the welfare a lot of people think of. It's corporate welfare. And so it gets into a fairly complicated issue. And so it's an interesting thing to see that, because I do like that we have senators being proactive, because it is an actual problem here that we cannot get enough produced. But there's the other side of that coin of, so we're going to subsidize that with taxpayer dollars to be able to do it. You know, I suppose maybe if it is a temporary type of credit, in other words, but to use federal money to unlock private dollars to motivate people to basically, you know, think of it this way. If you could, as an investor, put your money into something and get an immediate 25% break on what you pay on taxes on your profits, and you happen to have the money to do it, of course, that's what they're incenting people to do. But the other side of that is, well, how is that fair to, you know, on so many levels to other industries, et cetera? So it is complicated, because I do understand that to some extent I like proactiveness of trying to get that part of our economy up and running, but it is at a real cost to do it. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of thinking fleshes out, because if you call yourself a fiscal conservative, you're going to be against this. In other words, you're not going to be for it, yet you're going to see a lot of senators and Congress people absolutely who consider themselves that, and they'll use the argument of that they are supporting business, but you're also doing it with taxpayer money. Mm-hmm. So it's not as easy as I always say on the show, it's not as easy as you might hear in one editorial on one news station versus another. It's the truth is typically somewhere in between. And speaking about farming and the farms setting records here in the United States. So right now, U.S. farmers are forecasted to export $164 billion of agricultural products in fiscal year 2021. And our fiscal year as a country, by the way, is September 30th. And so as of 9/30/21 is when that would happen. That includes, you know, that's your corn and your soybeans and livestock, poultry, et cetera. Agricultural imports are also forecasted to be an all-time high of $142 billion. So forecasting $164 billion out and $142 billion in when it comes to farming. And so seeing a robust turnaround there for them to be able to do big things. And one of the last things I definitely want to touch on is, again, it has not been a great year in most types of bonds in the bond markets. But it doesn't mean you jump ship just because of that. And it doesn't mean that if you think inflation is going to go higher and push your bond mutual funds or temporarily your bond your bonds, individual bonds down, before they mature, because when they mature, you just, you know, you can't lose money when you get to that point. You just get your money back, assuming the bond doesn't, you know, falter or fail, the company behind it. But let me give you an idea. The worst year in the taxable bond market in the last 45 years, so from 1976 through last year, was a loss of just under 3%, which happened in 94. Now, think of the fluctuations you've seen in the stock market. You know, February, March of last year, 35%. 2008, 2009, at its worst, 55%. 2001, 2002, again, somewhere around 33-35%. Now, they all recovered, and my gosh, recovered and then some, right? I mean, tremendous returns in the stock markets. But if you're worried about a temporary decline, you know, going, oh, gosh, I'm worried about bonds going down. Well, if the worst one we've had is 3% in the last 45 years, that's a little different than the other numbers I was giving you. And so just to have some defense, because at the beginning of the show I was talking about lumber dropping 40% in the last couple, 2-3 weeks. Well, if you're, for whatever reason, markets do fall that quickly, to have that backstop behind you, to have that defense, if you're going to be pulling money for income from your portfolio or short-term needs, you're going to be glad if you're up 2 or down 3 or whatever, as opposed to having to draw from a part of your portfolio that's been beat up considerably. And so always remember, when you're trying to figure out, well, what should I be in? What makes sense? How much risk should I be taking? You have to always factor in that it's possible something could occur that we're not talking about, you didn't see coming, nobody saw coming. You know, the quote professionals, you know, weren't even talking about. One of the ways that I have had success as a financial advisor is that I am focused on making sure that if something happens, regardless of cause, that my clients are in a position to be able to withstand that downturn, if they're close to needing access to the money, or in fact in the process of taking that money. And so we're going to continue to keep an eye on both markets, but it is interesting to understand really how inflation and downward pressure, while it's on the news cycle, may not change what you should be doing with your money after all, and need to be quite prepared for that. Other things that are out there, which I'm happy to read about, is that they seem to be aggressively addressing a lot of the corporate ransom taking place with, you know, ransomware, with hackers getting in and shutting down. You know, we had the pipeline shut down out east, meatpacking plants. I mean, think about what could happen with our grid and our water supply and all these things. And so to seriously address that is not only a national security concern, it's also, quite honestly, an investor concern. Now, if you're an investor and you're paying attention to what's happening out there, make no mistake, you best be lobbying your Congress person or senator to be aggressively making sure that, you know, President Biden continues to push hard on this, because it would not take much, right, for somebody to get in there, foreign or domestic, and cause real world problems for your portfolio, for our country, for, you know, maybe even some basics. That's actually, to me, the new warfare, right? Certainly, you still got bullets and bombs. But how do you really cripple a country today? To knock down its infrastructure, its economy, its stock market, its water supplies, it's all technology. As I always say, I love and hate technology,
right?
Because I love what it can do. From here I am, you know, in Utah, we're on a radio show, having a phone call, and if I'm doing reviews via Zoom all the time, it's working perfectly. But there's a time when it doesn't work, or perhaps something goes wrong and is debilitating, that we all kind of scratch our heads and wish we were back in time a little bit, where we weren't so over-reliant on it. But it's not going anywhere, everybody. I just got an article emailed to me this morning. I got a couple of things I subscribe to, and you know, talking about the startup companies and aggressively looking into, you know, flying cars. I mean, Blade Runner is coming.
Wow.
You know, hopefully not, you know, artificial intelligence, you know, going around killing people. And it rains all the time, I guess. But at least in terms of, you know, those kinds of technologies, it's not as though that's science fiction. It's happening in real time. And there are investment opportunities, perhaps, to take advantage of that. So, with that, everybody, please stay cool, and, you know, try to enjoy your pool, the lake, the airco. Stay safe, and, we'll be catching up with you next week here again on Sound Advice and Speak Out. If you have any questions, always feel free to call into the show. They'll get them to me, or shoot me an email, bspringberg@sagepointadvisor.com. Or call the office, 928-855-9421.
All right. Well, hope to see you next week, Brian, right here in the studio.
You'll see me in the flesh and blood, Paul.
All right, perfect. I'm going to play this one by request of Mr. Springberg, and it's called Straight to Hell, Boy, by The Clash.
Well, just in regard to the temperature.
That's a great one, on Train in Vain, of course. All right, Brian, we'll see you next week.
Thank you now.
All right, and another version of Sound Advice with Brian Springberg in the books. I'll come back with a final shot in a moment. We've got a Patriot Guard Riders announcement to make for a welcome home mission this Saturday for a Lake Havasu High School student, or a former student from the class of 2020. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us.
This is your paradise. There ain't no need for ya. There ain't no need for ya. Go straight to hell, boy. Go straight to hell, boy. Darling, you've got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you've got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie. And a little final shot today includes a shout out to the Patriot Guard Riders. They're doing a welcome home mission for Jasmine Poffenbarger. She's a U.S. Army E-2 from Lake Havasu City. And this is on Saturday. And the family of Jasmine has requested the presence of the PGR to honor her for her service to our country. It is because Jasmine is a 2020 graduate of Lake Havasu High School, and at the age of 17 enlisted in the U.S. Army. So what you want to do, folks, if you're one of the Patriot Guard Riders or you want to get in touch with them, give Fabian a call, 760-902-5920. Now, here's the plan. Stage one, they're going to meet 10 a.m. at the Lake Havasu Vehicle Maintenance Yard. That's at 900 London Bridge Road, 10 a.m. Saturday morning. By 10:40, they'll be at the American Legion Post 81, 181 Paseo del Sol here in Lake Havasu. And they're going to be doing a flag line for Jasmine, a welcome home. And the 3x5 flags will be available for the flag line. But you need to bring your own water. No water will be provided. Again, call Fabian, 760-902-5920. For this very honorable event, for a very honorable resident of Lake Havasu City, Jasmine Poffenbarger, U.S. Army E-2, thank you for your service. And thank you to the Poffenbarger family for helping us with that announcement. All right, Biblical Citizenship Program is every Monday and Wednesday evening from 6 to 7:30 until June 30th. Every class is different. None are repeats. Contact Living Word Lutheran Church on Northern Avenue in Kingman for more information. And the website, go check it out, patriotacademy.com. On tomorrow's show, we'll have Terrence Concannon from Go Lake Havasu and Mike Bonney from GDK CPA. Until tomorrow, stay cool out there. Stay hydrated. Stay safe. I'm Paul Lavoie, living the dream in Lake Havasu City. Hannity is next, preceded by Fox News. Should I stay or should I go?